All right. Welcome back to Redo 97 podcast episode number 2. We're going strong with this, man. We had a lot going on these last few days, man, with WWE. So, welcome you guys back. I'm your host, Greg Poe. And today we're talking about WrestleMania. We're talking about WrestleMania Night 1 and 2. Just giving a little recaps what's going on, where we think everything's going to happen in the future with this new Paul Levesque era, a.k.a. Triple H. Y'all know him. My thoughts on the whole WrestleMania 40 altogether, 1 out of 10, I'm going to give it a 7.5. Just because I think some of the matches could have been a little bit better, or they could have had better opponents, which means story buildups over the last few months could have been different people, I think. And we'll get into that. Matter of fact, we'll get into it with the very first match on night one, which was last Saturday now. Saturday just passed. Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley. It was a good match. Don't get me wrong. It was a really good match. I already knew that Rhea Ripley was going to win just because Rhea Ripley is not trying to give up that belt. Rhea Ripley is on fire right now, and everything she does is top-notch. As a matter of fact, this is when I knew Rhea Ripley was going to be a different person. When she went from the tight pants to the literally tights with the drawers, with the fishnets, I knew right then Rhea Ripley was on another level. Because you know another person that did that? Triple H. When Triple H went from the pants to the real tights, the drawers, the underwear, whatever, he was a changed man. He was not just Triple H or Hunter Hearst Helmsley no more. He became the game. His music changed. He had a sledgehammer. His hair was always wet. That was the mode that Triple H was in. He made that mode that everybody wants to follow now. And now Rhea Ripley is following that mode. It's amazing. So, yeah, she was going to win. She was going to win big time. Now, don't get me wrong. Becky Lynch is a good opponent. However, I think a better opponent for Rhea Ripley, I'm going to go ahead and say it, Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton, I think, is the next biggest thing in WWE, and don't nobody know it. They're not giving her the time of day, or they're not even focusing on her because they're focused on everybody else, like Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, who are great people too, but on Raw, it's Tiffany time. I'm telling you. Tiffany time is going to be something crazy coming on in the next future, I'm telling you. Okay, the next match was the 16 ladder match. Got the Judgment Day, the New Day, the Awesome Truth, DIY, A-Town Down Under, and a New Catholic Republic. Okay, so this is one of those underdog matches that I was not thinking about. I forgot all about this match, to be honest with you. And when I was watching it, I was like, possibly the New Day is going to win. You know, because he's like, okay, the New Day might win. You know, I really didn't see Judgment Day winning because I really think Judgment Day is going to be coming to an end pretty soon. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But while I'm watching the match, I see R-Truth, you know, I see The Miz. I wasn't really paying them no mind. Like, you know, I thought they were just there to just take up space. But shouts out to R-Truth, the Awesome Truth, for winning the Raw belts. And shout out to A-Town Down Under for winning the SmackDown belts. I think it's good for underdogs to actually get the belts. Especially R-Truth, who's been in WWE, over 20 years? Almost 24 years, I want to say. And he got his WrestleMania moment. Congratulations. I clap it up for you, bro. When I get some sound effects up here with clapping, I'm going to come back on that. But, you know, you did your thing. You made the most of them, the moment. You're a tag champ now. WrestleMania moment. You're good to go. A-Town Down Under. I definitely did not see you guys winning. I saw probably DIY winning before you guys winning. Because, I'll be honest with you, I mean, for SmackDown, I mean, I watch SmackDown, but SmackDown seems so much easier than Raw that it made sense for them to be champions, you know? Like, because Austin Theory, he's good. He can be a lot better. I'm waiting for him to get to that Triple H game era myself and come back to Raw. He needs to touch that. He's about there. But until then, this is a good time for you to be a champ, you know, put the accolade under your belt. Keep moving. The Judgment Day, we knew they were going to lose. I'm going to tell you why. That man knew he was going to cash in that belt that night, Damian Priest. He knew somewhere down the line he was going to cash it in. He wasn't sure if it was Seth Rollins. He wasn't sure if it was Roman Reigns. He didn't know if it was Cody. A matter of fact, it would have been crazier if it was Cody Rhodes. That would have changed the whole show if he would have came down there and won the Undisputed Belt that night. That would have just been, oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about it because that would have just hurt everybody's feelings right there. But, yeah, he's ready to do his own thing, and he needs to do his own thing. Because Damian, when it comes to the Judgment Day, I just feel like they all needed that little space to try to grow, except for Finn Balor. Finn Balor is already there. Matter of fact, once the Judgment Day breaks up, he'll be just fine. Because I know he wants I know he wants that big title. And he's cool with having a belt too, a tag team belt. No, but that's what he does. When Finn Balor realizes, you know, you guys don't need me no more. You two got belts. Dominic, he's all right. JD's still JD. Nah. Let me go get this belt now. It's going to be crazy. So, I see a big rift coming in the Judgment Day soon. Quote me on that. Give it by, let me see, was it April? Give it a few weeks. Give it by some SummerSlam. SummerSlam comes around. We'll talk more about that then. Let's see here. The next match was the Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Dirty Dom and Santos Escobar. Now, we all knew that Big Rey was going to win. Then Andrade with his comeback, it was good. Great match. I think Dominic got his jaw like really hurt because, you know, he did this big boot with Andrade and he like faked the boot, did a spinning elbow hit, man, and you heard that shit all the way in the stands. It was crazy. So it's very, very terrible. Because you can tell because he kept fixing his jaw. If you ever look back, he was fixing his jaw while he was trying to wrestle the whole time. So he could have dislocated his jaw a little bit, I want to say. But pretty good match, man. I would love to see Rey Mysterio and Dom go at it one more time, like by themselves before Rey just calls it a day. Matter of fact, I would love to see Rey Mysterio go heel. I think that would be cool, too. It's Rey Mysterio. We've seen Rey be a good guy for several years. I've never seen Rey being a bad guy, except for his little small run at WCW. That was it. Everything else has been good guy Rey. So, but congrats to them. Here's a match we need to be looking out for just for the future of wrestling for females. Bianca Belair with Jade Cargill and Naomi versus Damage Control. Now, just looking at this whole setup here, you already knew who was going to win this match. Damage Control ain't got nothing on no Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill alone. Then you add Naomi. it's just black girl power right there, man. It's just hard to beat that already. But I think Bianca Belair is not looking at the future, because anybody can clearly see they're trying to push Jade Cargill. They're trying to push her in the spot that you're in right now. I know that's probably a storyline that's going to be up coming up soon, but yeah, she's definitely coming for that number one spot, and you are technically the next, well, I mean, you've been that girl. You've been in that spot. She's coming to take that spot over. I would love to see her versus Rhea Ripley, like, big time. That'd be an amazing match to me, but she's not there just yet, so... When Rhea Ripley decides she want to take down Jade Cargill, I'll be a happy dude. I would love to see that match. I might even make a shirt for that match because I know it's going to be epic. Let's see. The next match was Sami Zayn versus Gunther. Another underdog match here, because you couldn't have told me that Gunther was not going to win this belt. The only reason I know Gunther was going to lose is because Gunther kept talking to his Sami Zayn's wife, you know. Because if you ever look at wrestling and you realize, oh, they're doing a lot of talking or they're doing this crazy stuff, yeah, they're about to lose. They're just trying to taunt everybody. Like, when's the last time you seen Gunther fly like a flying squirrel off the top rope? Right? Like, he did it like twice. Talking to Sami Zayn's wife, walking around the ring. Gunther's been the champion a long time. What is it, like 600-something days? He's been champion for a minute. But I think he's finally reached that peak to say, you know what? I think I want the big belt now. I think he's there. And I think he's realized, oh, Cody has the belt too. This is my time. This is my chance to be the man. And can he do it? Yes. Yes, he can. He can definitely do it. Now, Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn has had a pretty good year, especially after he had, before the Bloodline, Sami Zayn wasn't doing that much. He was almost like an R-Truth character. He was just there. Conspiracy theories, losing matches. And got with the Bloodline, got some fans behind them, got kicked out the Bloodline, and then he became the undisputed tag team champion, and now he's the Intercontinental champion now, and it's good for him. It's good for your career. However, I don't think he's going to have the title for long. I think Sami Zayn's days are actually really numbered. They just had to get that belt off of Gunther. But somebody real is coming for that belt. Somebody that you can't beat. You beat him that night. As a matter of fact, it might be Chad Gable, because you don't really think he lost to Gunther to train you so you can beat him? Come on, bro. No. He's coming for that belt. And he's going to get it from you. It's a fact. And I think Chad Gable's going to be turning heel soon just because he knows he needs that belt. He needs something more than Alpha Academy. And then the headlining match for night one, of course, is Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes versus The Rock and Roman Reigns. Now, I'm watching the match. First of all, Seth Rollins comes out. I don't know what the hell he has on, but he's wearing it. He's going down the ring. All you hear is, oh, you can hear it. Oh, he's loving it. He's loving it. The outfit is flashing. Getting the ring, Cody comes down. The Rock comes down. Roman Reigns comes down. They go up in the ring. It's looking good for a moment, you know. Doing the little tie-ups. Then The Rock gets tagged in. He wants Cody Rhodes. And Cody Rhodes has a look on his face of defeat before he even gets in the ring. I don't care what nobody says. Like, something like that, you're nervous. You shouldn't be that nervous fighting somebody that just slapped you a few weeks ago. Been talking about your mama for weeks, who beat you down 2 weeks in a row with a belt. that says Mama Rose, you should be ready to get in the ring with him. So I think Cody Rhodes is a little nervous when it comes to The Rock. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm just telling you what it looks like. So I think he definitely needs to work on his facial expressions if he's going to be on the ringside. That's one thing. And it was a really good match, man. It lasted, I want to say, like 40 minutes, I want to say. And it ended with The Rock pinning Cody Rhodes for it to go into Bloodline Rules the next night for night two. At that moment, everybody's thinking the same thing. Roman's going to keep his belt. Everybody was thinking that. I thought that for a moment. Actually, the whole week, I was going back and forth like, is Cody going to win? Is Roman going to win? Cody might pull this off, man. He might. They did that legend. They did that documentary on Roman Reigns. I'm like, they don't do stuff like that. He might lose. I'm going back and forth. But I said, okay, they won for night one. Cool. Let's see how night two stands out. So let's go into night two. We're going to start off with good old Seth Rollins again, who just got his back beat down. His knee busted open to fight Drew McIntyre, who is a nice, healthy, insane Drew McIntyre with the duster on again. I knew he was back to his old ways when I saw that duster. Look, when he had that, when he first came back as the Scottish Psychopath with that duster on, bro, you couldn't touch him. And he's getting right back to that. All that nice Drew we saw for the past couple years, it's over. Drew want that belt, and he proved it. As soon as the bell rung, what did he do? Bro. Y'all saw it. I ain't got to tell you. You saw it. You saw what the man did. It was crazy, right? And then they try to get back into it. They're fighting. They're wrestling. They're going back and forth. Man, it's getting real brutal. I felt bad for Seth because he just had a bad night. He just had a very, very painful night fighting The Rock and Roman Reigns. Knee all limping everywhere. Every move he did, he kept favoring that knee, limping around the ring. Then you got CM Punk outside talking crazy about everybody in his little tight suit. And it all ended with the whole, it ended with Drew McIntyre winning the match, pretty much. So I figured he was going to win because Seth needs some time off. He does. Seth has been hurt for a while. So here we go. McIntyre goes outside the ring, talks to his wife. Then he looks to his left. He sees CM Punk over there. So he decides to walk over there. I don't know why. Yeah, he crawls on the table like a cat. Talks crazy to the man. I will end your career, this and that, you know. And then CM Punk just got enough of it and just started beating the living daylights out of Drew McIntyre. Stomping him out. Then he blew a kiss at his wife. And at that moment, all I see is purple and music blasting. And who is it? Damian Priest running down the aisle looking crazy. He had an insane look in his eyes. Goes around the ring, and what does he do? Bow! He hits Drew McIntyre with the briefcase, cashes it in, throws him in the ring, and does that choke slam, whatever that is that he does. It's weird. I don't like it. And wins the belt. Congratulations to Damian Priest for pulling off such a great, great ending to that match. Now, when Drew's coming for you, I don't care what nobody says. He might have lost that match on Monday, but he's coming for you, bro. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. So, just want to put that out there. Not only that, I don't see him holding the belt for so long either. Because, yeah. You had to cash in there. You had to cash it in soon. You had to regardless. You hit the right time. You got the accolade. But I don't see you as the champion but for so long. I'm going to give you about 2 months with the belt. And I see you losing. He's just not a... Okay, he's not a real champion yet. Tag team champion all day. Even intercontinental champion, I can see him being that. But the world heavyweight champion? No. I don't really see that. But it makes for a good storyline down the way. We all know that Jey Uso won Monday Night Raw to face Damian Priest later on. But still, yeah, that's just to get over. Honestly, it might be Gunther coming for you, bro. I would get ready for Gunther if I were you. Definitely. Because he is not. First of all, you couldn't beat Gunther without a belt. You think you're going to beat him for that belt? That belt alone? Oh, no. No. It's a done deal. So just get ready, Damian Priest. You're going to need it, bro. Then you got the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley versus the Final Testament. Now, I'm looking at the Final Testament. I see my guy, Paul Ellering. I know Paul Ellering for years with the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom, whichever name that you know him by. And I know he only deals with people that he knows are good. So he must have real faith in those two dudes, because I don't. They've been in WWE for a few years now, and they've come back as different things, and all of us been trash. Bringing Paul Ellering here makes you think, well, maybe he's trying to make a new Legion of Doom. They are not those type of guys. They don't have that type of mentality. They don't even beat up people like they should beat up. What was that name before? The Authors of Pain? First of all, that was a terrible-ass name. I'm going to need you to do better. However, just try your best. Now you're with the Final Testament. Maybe something different will happen. I don't know. We will see. But Street Profits and Bobby Lashley, I'll be honest with you, bro. They was getting the best of y'all in the ring. You was getting beat down. Them Kingo sticks was doing some damage to y'all. One of them broke it all up on your face. And even the chick, what's her name? B-Fab, whatever. She got beat up too. Like, I wasn't expecting y'all to get beat up so bad, but come on now. Come on, you Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley looked like a big baby Ruth. Muscles is everywhere for no reason. Then you got the Street Profits that did pretty good. You know. I just think the match could have been just a little bit better, man. A few more tables. Thank God Bubba Ray was there to tell you to go get the table so we can, you know, get some more action going on here. Because all I saw was Kingo sticks. That's all I saw for a moment. Maybe a chair. That's about it. You needed more. Man, if you had a ladder in that thing, it would have been perfect. It would have been a good-ass match, man. So, just remember that. You Bobby Lashley. You ain't no punk. The third match of the night, AJ Styles versus LA Knight. Now, when I saw this match, you couldn't have told me AJ Styles was not going to win. AJ Styles has been on a rampage since he came back from his injury. He's gotten bigger. He looks mad all the time. He's wearing black all the time. When somebody wears black all the time, watch out for him because they're not playing with you. LA Knight is on a ride right now. Everybody loves him. Yeah. That's all they're hearing now, you know. He's a pretty good wrestler. I don't like his moves per se, but, you know, he does okay. But you wouldn't have told me that LA Knight was going to win that match. There's no way possible. So I know they got bigger things for AJ Styles. I can't even say much about that match because I was concerned and hurt that they did AJ Styles like that. AJ Styles is one of the best wrestlers ever. And you let him lose to LA Knight because why? I can't even tell you why. My own way of looking at wrestling, I can't see it. It was a very unsuccessful match. Do better. Triple H, you in charge now. Do better, man. Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton versus Logan Paul. This is probably one of the worst matches of the whole night. Only because I can't stand Kevin Owens. I'll be honest with you. Kevin Owens is probably one of the worst wrestlers I've ever seen in my life. Probably my top 10. Because he doesn't do nothing. Kevin, like, fight Owens, fight. No, Owens. Learn how to fight. That's how I feel. I don't think Kevin Owens is a great wrestler. I will never think he's going to win. Never. It's just something about it. It's not my style, I can say. You know, sometimes it gets the job done. The crowd loves him. That's what's up. After that pop-up powerbomb and when he rolls around on the floor on people, I mean, that's it. That's all it does. Maybe a swanton bomb sometimes. Then he took the Stone Cold Stunner from Stone Cold. I mean, bro, like, that's it. You took Jeff Hardy's move. You took Stone Cold's move. I don't know what else you can do, bro. You need some more moves in your folder to pull out. You know, you need to start working on those, I think. Because you're doing the same thing over and over again. You're losing to a person that just started wrestling last year. Like, doesn't that kind of get on your nerves? And Randy Orton, I'm not the biggest Randy Orton fan. But he draws people in. Can he wrestle? Yeah, he can wrestle. And I didn't expect Randy Orton to actually lose this match. Actually, I thought Randy Orton was going to win. But somehow, Logan Paul, once again, United States champion, wins. Sends you guys back home. It's amazing, right? I mean, I know his company was sponsoring the WrestleMania 40, but I don't think he still should have won, you know. He still could have just lost the belt, get the belt off of him. Because there's other people that need the belt more than he does, I think. But just my opinion. Okay, then we got Bayley versus Io Sky. I knew Bayley was going to win this match because she definitely needed it. Bayley's been down for about 2 years now. She's been trying to get damage control over, finally got them over. And then she won the Rumble, and it was Bayley time. It was time for Bayley to show up and show out. And I knew they was as soon as she won, I knew it was gonna be a problem. I knew it was gonna be a problem in that group. And sure enough, they jumped Bayley, kicked her out, kicked the group member out that made the group. Listen to that. She was the group. Now Io Sky walking around with the bell. She comes. First of all, Io Sky comes out looking drunk, screaming, walking all crazy to the ring. I'm like, what is wrong with this girl? Gets in the ring, and she started giving Bayley the business. To the point I said, well, dang, Bayley might lose. Bayley had some good times, but Io Sky was giving her the works. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, even when Bayley tried to do some of her moves, man, she would counter them things so good. Man, you didn't even realize it was a move. Like, she knows Bayley. She knows everything she's about to do. But at the end, Bayley pulls it off, gets that win. Congratulations, Bayley, for winning the SmackDown WWE Championship. Now, the match of all matches. Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. We all know what happened. I played a little snippet of it in the beginning of the show. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns was going at it. Roman Reigns started doing that whole little I'm talking to myself thing, to hype himself up. And it worked for a little bit. But Cody Rhodes started taking over, and then all of a sudden, just like we all thought, because it's Bloodline rules, here comes Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso comes down there, do his thing, you know, beats up on Cody Rhodes for a little bit, and here comes Yeet, Mr. Yeet, Jey Uso. And he meets him up there at the top, and they're fighting for a little bit, super kick, you know, it's always going to be a super kick when it comes to them. And it ends with this man spinning him off the stage onto a table. I'm like, where'd the table come from? Who had time to fix a table? But at that moment, it was good. You know, so they kept fighting for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, here comes Solo. Solo pops up. He does that. I forgot the name of the move. He does it. He does a thumb joint to him. Boom. Cody's down. Roman tries to pin him. It don't work. Solo gets upset. Now, normally Solo Sikoa doesn't talk much, right? But that night, he was talking to Roman Reigns like he was a kind of a punk. I don't know if everybody noticed that. Come on, you got to finish it. Get up, get up. You know, so I think that has something to do with The Rock's influence. That's why I think it's going to be a bigger storyline for the Bloodline coming up, because I've never heard Solo talk to Roman Reigns like that, ever. But it's the Spike. Samoan Spike, that's the name of it. Excuse me. So they did a Samoan Spike with the spear, and he kicked out again. And just like everybody thought early that week, John Cena came out. Then he want to fight Solo. Put Solo down. Then The Rock shows up, being the final boss that he is, gliding down to the ring. Got his belt, got the vest on, got his shades on like he does. Puts down John Cena. Now, at this moment, earlier in the week, I told everybody, I think Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to come out. I think, because if you look at when The Rock is beating on Cody Rhodes, they got the bus in the background, and they got Stone Cold and John Cena. So we saw John Cena come out. We wasn't sure what was going to happen with Stone Cold, but, you know, we just had a hunch. And all of a sudden, it got dark, and you hear that Undertaker gong. So everybody was like, oh, shit. Lights come back on. Undertaker's behind the Rock. Choke slams. It's over. Then Cody comes and hits him with that, I forgot that Cody. I don't know Cody Rhodes moves like that, man. Those rules are, those moves are kind of weird. But he hits him on him three times and wins the belt. Roman Reigns is all upset. He's walking off. I think it's very possible we won't see Roman Reigns till about SummerSlam. He's going to take a little break. I think he needs it. I think his health is still always a factor in this. And he's been having a hectic schedule for a while, man. Like, so, yeah, I think it's time for Roman to take a little break. And let's see what happens with the whole Bloodline thing. Like, let's see how this ends up, because at the end of the day, they can still go a lot of storylines with the Bloodline. They can kick Roman Reigns out. He comes back a baby face. The Rock's in charge now, because The Rock's not done. He still has a lot more going on. So we're going to see how this comes up. Cody Rhodes. Who is Cody Rhodes going to face now? That's the biggest question. Like, could it be Gunther? I don't know. He has a few people that he can go against. And the question is, what kind of champion is Cody going to be? I know everybody wanted him to finish the story. But is he going to be an awesome champion? Or is it going to be a dud? I don't know. That's what I cannot figure out at this moment. But we will keep going on with this Cody story for a while now, because he just finished one part of the story. Now you got to keep going on and on about the story, about who you're going to fight next, and can you keep up with this person? Because honestly, I don't want Cody Rhodes to be the champion for long. It's good you finished it, but... You as champion, it just don't fit the criteria to me. But like I said, that's just me. But that was WrestleMania 40, man. Like, it was, like I said, 7.5 out of 10. Some things I would have changed. Some things could have been a little bit better. But all in all, it was a great, great WrestleMania, man. Paul Levesque did a really good job. Shouts out to everybody that watched it. Shouts out to everybody that kept texting me throughout the match, because I told you I don't want to talk to nobody. But I'll take a text. I'll text you right back, too, at the same time. And, yeah, man, so I was happy with the results. Well, some of them. I think AJ Styles could have won. I can't wait to see where WrestleMania 41 is going to be. Because you know why? We are going to be there. We're going to be front row at WrestleMania 41. The Redo podcast, Redo 97 podcast will be there to do damage. We might even do a podcast with some wrestlers, man. So if you know anybody that think we should bring on the show, please hit us up on Instagram at blackrepublicmedia.com and just tell us who you think should be on the show, man. We're going to do some live podcasting, too. So it's going to be an amazing journey from here to next year's WrestleMania. So just let us know, man. But I'm your host, Greg Poe. Once again, I hope you enjoyed the show, man. Can't wait to see you on episode 3. Y'all have a good one. Have a good night.